The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It was really interesting that this week, as I was going over the readings and trying to determine which reading would be best to share with you a reflection on this morning, the reading from Acts seemed to pop up higher than the actual gospel reading. And I felt that there's a kernel of something in this reading that can turn into an applicable message for the congregation, especially for where the congregation is at this point, where you're in between pastors, and you're sort of reevaluating and revisioning your future and your vision for the future, your vision for your ministry. So I want you to pay close attention to this sermon this morning, because I think it was made for you guys, especially. Actually, the name of it is called Seeking God's Direction. So when we join Paul, Silas, and Timothy in our first lesson today, we are stepping into a mission that has already been underway for quite a long time. And I want to give you a bit of background on this mission. Now, the Apostle Paul has started out with the intent of revisiting all the churches that he established in Asia Minor, in what is now Turkey. And on the way, he became acquainted with a faithful young man named Timothy. He brought Timothy along as he once again set out on a mission to reassure and strengthen the churches that he helped plant on his first missionary journey. Now, according to the book of Acts, Paul wanted to go to Phrygia and Galatia, also in Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit forbade them from going into the area and from preaching to those people. So Paul redirected to Bithynia and Mysia, but once again, the Holy Spirit forbade them and stopped them from preaching again to people in those areas. So instead, they turned aside and they once again journeyed to Troas, from which was on the shore of the Aegean Sea, a long way from Lystra and Derbe, about 450 miles from where Paul had wanted to do his preaching. Well, one, the Holy Spirit clearly said no to the plan that Paul had established. We don't really hear anything about the Holy Spirit actually giving new directions. But we know that Paul was certain that the Holy Spirit forbade him to preach or teach in his first two chosen directions. So Paul took a different path. It reminds me of the Robert Frost poem. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that made all the difference. Paul did not follow the path that he'd taken before, the one he had planned to retrace. He returns from it at the Holy Spirit's direction, and he sets out on a new course. And as we shall see, it makes a significant difference. So once Paul and his fellow missionaries arrive in Troas, he receives a vision giving the party a clear indication that they are to travel to Macedonia. Now the author of Acts doesn't say that the vision was from the Holy Spirit, but Paul considers it powerful and trustworthy enough to immediately book passage for the entire group to go to Macedonia. Now his journey is being directed to someplace instead of merely being detoured from someplace. So they sail to an island, they go to the Neapolis, and once in Neapolis, they go straight by land to Philippi, and Philippi was a leading city at that time. And at this point, you might expect something big to take place. Paul and his colleagues seemed to be where they thought that God wanted them to be. Yet all we hear is that they sat in Philippi and cooled their heels for a period of time. Hearing no direction, hearing no spirits, just taking a time out. They could have been preaching, they could have been teaching during that time, but the person telling their journey doesn't say more than a few words about that time, just that they stayed there for some days. Here, however, is where this story starts to get interesting. Remember that Paul was commissioned by Christ to take the good news to the Gentiles. In spite of this, as a starting point, he always sought out the community of Jews wherever he went. While in Philippi, on the Sabbath, Paul and his group go outside the city to a place by the river where they expect to find people gathered to pray. And this tells us some things. First, because it is the Sabbath, Paul must have expected these people to be the Jews gathered, ready for prayer. Second, there's probably not enough men in Philippi to form a synagogue, which required 10 adult men for gatherings to pray. So instead, they went to the riverside, and Paul and his group were seeking out this community and an opportunity to pray. Well, what happens is they come across a gathering of women. And Paul doesn't discount the women as the other authorities may do in those days. But Paul actually does not discount them and leave. He gathers with them. He preaches to the women. He teaches to the women. And God opens the heart of a prominent woman in the group, and her name is Lydia. And Lydia is described as a worshiper of God, which is Bible language for a Jew by practice, but not by birth. Lydia is so moved by what Paul says and what he shares that she is baptized along with her whole household and insists that Paul and his missionaries, they come and they stay with her. So let's review. Paul wound up in Philippi because he responded to the direction from the Holy Spirit and a vision from God, not because he had this wonderful thought out plan. After getting there, he waited for further direction, and when none seemed to come, he sought out a community of faith and of prayer. And as a result of God's direction, Lydia became the first convert in Europe and the start of the Christian church in Philippi, a church that becomes famous for its faithfulness. So how often do we sit in our council meetings or our committee meetings and ask the question, what do you want to do? Or what mission are we interested in pursuing? Or some other question that we hope would outline what we believe to be our mission of Christ's church. How seldom do we approach our mission decisions with prayer instead of demographics or budgets? And when we take our well laid out plans and they show no fruition, how quick are we to get frustrated with God and say, God, I did all the work, how come it's not bearing any fruit? We get angry, we get upset with each other, we get angry with God because we're not getting what we thought we were supposed to get. What we had planned, worked hard to try and accomplish. Well, this story of Lydia's conversion is interesting in many ways, but the power and the significance of the story for us, I think, is relying on God's direction. Paul relied on God's direction. Paul had plans that God said, this is not the way that the ministry is going to go. I will give you plans, said God. And that's what God did. Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he guided Paul and the congregation at Philippi into a mission that they had not expected at all. So Zion Philipsburg, you are on a path not of your own making. You are on a path that is the making of God. And it's up to you to discern and hear and follow that Holy Spirit. And where it's going, we do not know. We can come up with the best laid plans and not get anywhere, spin our wheels. But listening to God, we will move forward. If we see and we are open in our hearts and our minds and our souls to God's Holy Spirit, then Philipsburg has a future, not of your own making, but of the making of God. So I'd like to conclude with a prayer. Lord God, we invite you to dwell in us and to so fill us with your Holy Spirit, that our ministry and mission are guided by your will and wisdom instead of ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.